Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Demonic Culture, a conversation with Peter James Dowling. Is demonic activity on the rise? Is there something in our culture that has turned a switch onto high when it comes to the world of dark energies infesting our environment? There is a hierarchical system of demons who want to maintain control of the living and seem to stop at nothing to do so. How does the living protect themselves from such forces? Today, we discuss demonic culture with Peter James Dowling on The Grave Talks.
Well, there's many ways you can be a demonologist. Unfortunately, the last interview, I didn't want to become a demonologist. I wound up crossing that line to a certain point, and I've heard other people telling me that I'm needed by God to cast these things out, to cleanse, to get into the metaphysical side of the paranormal. My way was through my confirmation through a Catholic priest, and I'm not even Catholic. Mm-hmm. And this Catholic priest was an exorcist because this Pope has recommended that every diocese in the United States has at least one exorcist because things are getting worse. Others, what they do is a lot of them are clergy and part of the cloth, and they get their training from Rome or a Bible college. To be certified to be reverend or a priest. The misconception of it all is a lot of people think that they can go online and get certified as a demonologist, and they're asking for trouble. They're going to make things a lot worse. I've seen people do investigations or awaken a entity that was in a home that was very negative and made things worse for the clients. It lay dormant when they came in to do a cleansing or they came in to do an investigation. A lot of the clients have complained in the past that things have worsened, and many times they would flee from the residence, and many times these entities would follow them no matter where they went. So whenever I have a client, I tell them, you can't run from this thing, but the only way to deal with it is to fight it. The thing is, I also notice that, I've had people come to me and said they want to be a demonologist, and many times the red flags would go up because it's not something that we want to do. I've talked to priests and exorcists that it was a field that they didn't want to get into it because it's very dark. Once you cross that line, bad things do happen. I'm constantly attacked metaphysically, spiritually, and sometimes physically. And it's constant. You declared war on these entities. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, and you answered the question, certainly, and then you gave me more questions to ask because that's just the nature of how all of this works.
Unfortunately.
So let's talk about this. Let's unpack that a little bit. Someone who goes online, I believe a lot of people, probably a majority of them, who actively want to be a demonologist. And I know I totally understand what you're saying. It's not something you really want to do. If you fully understand what it is you're saying you're wanting to do, you wouldn't be going, raising your hand, pick me. But someone who does go online, someone who's excited about this idea, someone who's watched Ghost Adventures one too many times and owns one too many black shirts, that says, I think I'm going to go try and do this and be a demonologist. What is the difference in terms of knowledge and preparedness that one would have from simply studying online and being certified by, you know, who, Bill Joe's demonology school, you know, versus versus being, you know, someone who's been brought into this, certified by the church and really almost reluctantly, like yourself, having gotten into that area of it, in terms of how the tools that they're bringing in mentally to a case, someone who's been certified, who has gone down that track, such as you, versus someone who is, you know, almost, you know, too giddy about the idea. What is the difference here in terms of knowledge that each individual would have?
Well, it seems to be a lot of naiveness on a lot of people. They don't know what they're doing. John Zaffis has warned people many, many times that it's a very dangerous field. He explains it perfectly in how it is. And, you know, there's people who think it's really cool. They watched a lot of TV. There's a lot of things out there that kind of glorify the demonic, subliminally sometimes, you know, through games, through different movies. I mean, it even goes down to a children's program of subliminal messages. And, you know, it seems like society fantasize about these things, mostly it's false truths, and people, they don't have a clue of what it's like to deal with these entities. And the thing is they're, I believe that they're naive. I'm not saying that as a negative, you know, I'm coming from a negative platform. For me, I did not want to cross that line, as I said before. And I was running into demonic cases, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And every fiber in my being, I didn't want to deal with it at all. And but something takes over me when I do this thing, and I do pray and I do protect myself. It is very, very, very dangerous. Once you cross that line, you've actually declared war on these entities. They know when you cross that line, and there's no turning back. Your life changes forever. It's never the same. And it's a constant battle with dark forces and these entities. Even the church and other religions, they, you know, they'll educate you that, but they don't. It's so dangerous that a layman, in layman's terms, it's not good unless you become educated in the field. You might think that you're called to do something like this and you have the heart to help people, but then necessarily it doesn't mean that this is God's plan for you. And if you're not careful, you can get in serious trouble, because it seems like, you know, and we have so many fields in the paranormal other than demonology, but I think there's an attraction to it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people ask me questions about it because they're fascinated by it. But I like to warn people just so it's a seed planted in their head to know, you know, the dangers, the hidden dangers, because we talked about the dangers just paranormal last time. But when it comes to demonology, it's very, very dark. And I have seen people who weren't called to do this and went into it for the wrong reasons, winding up being dark themselves and falling into a trap. And they're starting to do spells and they're starting to work with these dark entities. And I've had people from satanic churches and a lot of other cults ask me, what's it take to be a demonologist? And I knew that they were going to use it for bad things and not for the good. And, you know, I do it only to serve God, only to help people understand what's out there from my experience.
Let's talk about some of the points that you made in all of that. You had mentioned something that I find interesting to talk about, subliminal messages. And you had mentioned sometimes they're even into children's programming, and they're in all different places. When it comes to subliminal messaging, I think quite often a lot of us get this idea that there's some bad person back behind the scenes that's going, I'm going to stick this into this movie and no one's going to catch it, but they're going to somehow get this message or knowledge out of it. Is that always the case where there really truly is some bad person back there that's trying to purposely create a subliminal message into whether it be a piece of advertising or entertainment, or are subliminal messages sometimes created inadvertently where the creator of said piece of entertainment is almost used as a vessel without even their knowledge? An example would be, I'm not a good painter by any means in terms of art, but if I were to go paint, you said, go make a picture of that airplane over there and paint it. Here's a paint and here's a canvas. We would come back and take a look at that painting, and I can guarantee it would not look very much like an airplane. May kind of look like it, but somebody's going to go, it looks like this or it looks like that.
Right.
And it's like, I really didn't intend for it to be like that, but it kind of came out that way. Is that how sometimes subliminal messaging is basically encoded into things, or are there more things that we are unaware of people intentionally trying to put things into media? Because that would certainly require human interaction, intervention to do so, to embed things into popular culture pieces of entertainment or advertisements.
Well, a lot of people would label that abstract art, and I probably look at it and say, what the heck is that, from a 5-year-old?
Yes, of course, that would be the first thing. But you could also then make the argument of, is there a subliminal message in there?
Maybe a little bit of both.
That's what I wonder about when it comes to, take my example aside, but more so when we are talking about real things that are out there. Can you give some examples of where subliminal messaging has been found in popular culture? Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.